When Dasarath, he could not speak a word. He just laid on the ground, moaning.
Oh, Ram, oh, Ram.
No other sound could come out of his mouth.
Then Sri Ramchandra,
he went to the house of his mother, Kausalya. But this time, knowing that his destiny was to live in the forest as a hermit, he did not get on his chariot, but rather he walked barefoot to his mother's palace. The people of Ayodhya couldn't understand, what's going on? Why is he walking like an ordinary person? On the way, Lord Ram explained the incident to Lakshman. Lakshman's heart was pierced with pain and anger. Lord Sri Ram entered into the palace of Kausalya. When he entered, the other maidservants of Kausalya had already heard about the banishment of Ram. They were weeping and crying and howling in pain. Meanwhile, Kausalya did not hear anything about this. She had fasted all night. She performed all sorts of auspicious rituals for the pleasure of her son. And she was just rejoicing. When Ram came into the room, Kausalya, she just said, "Oh, Ram, it is so wonderful that you have come now. Today is the happiest day of our lives. Today you will be coronated." Lord Rama, he said, "Oh, I have come to tell you the news. This news will bring terrible, terrible pain to your heart. A great calamity has come upon you." Kaikeyi has asked two boons of your dear husband, Dasarath Maharaj, and my father has granted her those boons, that Bharat will be coronated as king, and that I will be banished to the Dandakaranya forest for the next 14 years. When Kausalya heard this, she could not believe what her ears were hearing. She fell to the ground, eyes filled with tears. She wept and wept. With a trembling voice, she tried to speak. "For many years, I had to suffer the pain of being childless. Through so many attempts, your father tried to give me a child. But it was never to any avail. I was thinking that will I live throughout my life without offering any child as a prince to my husband and to the citizens of Ayodhya? How much pain I bore all those years. But then you became my child, my one and only child. You are my life and soul. There's nothing in the world I love more than you. This news has come to bear a deeper agony than anything I could ever even imagine. My heart is broken in two. I believe that my heart must be made of solid steel. Otherwise, how is it that after hearing this news, I am still alive?" "My dear Ram, you cannot go. You cannot go." Then Kausalya fell to the ground in faint. And when she came to consciousness again, she said that if you do have to go, due to this evil will of my co-wife, then I will follow with you. I cannot stay in the city of Ayodhya without you. Kaikeyi will abuse me. Dasarath will neglect me. On top of losing my most beloved son, it is unbearable. I will not survive. Just as a cow will follow her beloved calf into the forest, I will follow you into the forest. Then Kausalya collapsed. Seeing this, Lakshman could no longer contain his anger. He went into a state of fury. He said, Ram, you are faultless. You have never made an offense to anyone in your entire life. This is not right. Our father has become a puppet in the hands of an evil woman. Due to lust, our father has given in to the evil desires of Kaikeyi. Therefore, you should not honor his promise. In fact, if my father, Dasarath, persists in banishing you to the forest, then I will personally, with my sword, I will kill him. And if anyone stands between me, I will kill them. I will destroy the entire army of Ayodhya, but you will not go to the forest. This is my vow. Look at your mother. Look at Kausalya. Look at the pain that she is bearing. Lakshman looked at Kausalya and said, you please be assured I will never allow this to happen. With my flaming arrows and sharpened sword, I will destroy anyone and everyone that comes in my way of coronating Ram as king today. Lord Ram, he said that it is not sinful what my father has done or Kaikeyi has done. They are not causing me any harm. Please know that it is my foremost duty to protect the honor of my beloved father. He has given his word. He has made his vow. I must protect it. And nothing will change my mind. He explained to Kausalya and Lakshman that these material bodies are just temporary situations wherein the eternal soul resides. These material bodies are destined for death, and between birth and death, all sorts of unexpected predestined occurrences will come about. Actually, all these relationships, father, mother, brother, brother, husband, wife, they are all just like pieces of straw meeting in the ocean of material existence. But then when the next wave comes, these straws scatter, separated from one another. So we should not take so seriously all of these materialistic relationships. What we must take serious is Dharma. And my father has given his word. He has made a vow. And I cannot allow him to break his vow. That is my duty, to protect him. Then Lakshman, waving his sword in all directions, I will kill them, I will destroy them, but today you will be coronated as king. I dare anyone to stand before and challenge me. Lord Ram explained that please do not blame Kaikeyi. She is not at fault. This is the will of Providence. And Providence's will is very strong, and it must be honored. I will not change my resolve. My dear mother and brother, I will return in only 14 years and once again be here to serve you in the happiness of your association. Kausalya, she began to weep more and more and more, said, if you must go, my son, if you must go, then please allow me to come with you. A cow cannot allow its calf to be taken away. Similarly, it will be worse than death for me to live in Ayodhya without you. If you are determined to go, I will go with you. Lord Rama said to Kausalya that you know the virtues of real morality. It is the duty of a wife to serve her husband. At this time, Dasarath, he will be grieving terrible, terrible pain due to my exile. Unless you are there at his side to help him and serve him, he will certainly give up his life. It is your duty before the Lord to be with your husband, especially in this greatest time of need. You must stay home. Kausalya, knowing that everything that Ram said was true, she somehow or other managed to gain the strength to speak what Ram wanted to hear. Ram was begging her, please give me your permission and blessings. She said, go, my son. Go with my blessings. And I will be awaiting at every moment for this 14 years to expire when we will be together again. Ram and Lakshman then went to the palace of Sita. He entered into Sita's room. Sita was just overjoyed with happiness, preparing for the coronation. She said, my dear Ram, today is the most auspicious day. But why is it that you are looking very despondent? Your eyes are gazing down and you are perspiring. You look like you are disillusioned. This is not the proper state of mind on a joyous occasion as today. What is the problem, my Lord? What is the problem? Lord Ramchandra then explained to Sita that Dasarath has granted Kaikeyi the boon that Bharat will be installed as the future king, and that I will go to the forest to wear the bark of trees for 14 years. Ram went on. He said, when I am gone for these 14 years, you must stay back and you must serve my parents. You must serve my mother and father because they are going to need you very, very much. And this 14 years will pass very, very quickly. Sita was shocked. Her beautiful lotus eyes filled with tears. What have you uttered, my dear husband? What is it that you have said? Such words are not befitting you. If you are going to the forest, then I am coming with you. A wife shares both the fortune and the misfortune of her husband. I will walk ahead of you. and with my feet I will trample all of the thorns to make your path soft and comfortable. But by all means, I will come with you. I am deeply, deeply pained that you have not considered taking me with you. Lord Ram began to describe the dangers of the forest. My dear Sita, you have been brought up in the palace of Maharaj Janak, sleeping on soft silken beds, eating the most tasteful foods, with dozens of maidservants around you, ready to offer you anything you desire. You have never seen an inconvenience in your whole life. Do you know what it is like to live in the Dandakaranya forest? You'll be walking barefoot on the forest paths where there are many thorns to harm your soft feet. You will have to sleep on the hard, cold ground. All that there will be to eat is the roots that we pull out of the ground and the wild berries that grow in the trees. During the nights, it will be pitch dark. On those moonless nights, there will be no light anywhere. In the forest, there are innumerable mosquitoes to bite you, scorpions to sting you, cobras and other deadly snakes slithering around that can attack at any given moment. Deadly man-eating wolves, lions, bears, tigers infesting these forests. During the winter, it will be freezing cold. During the summer, it will be burning hot, and there will be no shelter. You'll have to wear the coarse bark of trees. And besides that, in these forests are roaming man-eating rakshasas, ready to devour anyone they see. It is not befitting you, beloved Sita. You stay home in the beautiful palaces of Ayodhya, and you take care of your mother-in-law and father-in-law, and I will soon return. When Sita heard this, she cried. She said, I have made a vow that I will follow you and serve you in any condition. At the time of our marriage, my father made a vow that I will follow you like your shadow wherever you go, and I will be faithfully dedicated to assisting you in any condition of life. It is my duty to protect my father's vow. Besides that, Ram, to be with you, there is no danger. I know your might, your strength, your glory. If I am with you, even hell is like heaven. But to be without you, heaven will be worse than hell. My dear Lord, I cannot live without you. The forest will be such a pleasing, wonderful place, with all nice trees and birds singing. All the glories of Ayodhya will be wherever your lotus feet are standing. Sita appealed with tears in her eyes and her heart throbbing. Please, protect my father's promise and take me with you. Lord Rama's heart, melted by her appeal, replied that I want to take you with you. I cannot live without you. But still, I had to warn you about the dangers of forest life. Now, prepare yourself by giving away everything you have. Take leave of your superiors, and we will immediately go to the forest. Then Lakshman fell at the lotus feet of Ram, holding onto his feet, and pleaded, "Take me also, take me. I cannot stay back. Please take me." Sri Ram replied that you must stay here. Our aged parents, they need you. Besides, if the evil Kaikeyi, if she abuses Kausalya or Sumitra, your mother, then who will be there to make sure that they get their rights? You have to stay and you have to take care of them. Lakshman already knew that Ram would say that. So he prepared his answers. He said, "Dasarath has already made provisions for all of them. So there's no problem, no problem at all. And besides that, wherever we are in the forest, the rishis and sages, they'll all know what's happening in Ayodhya. And if ever we get the news that there's some injustice to our mothers, I will be back in a second to punish the intruders. Please take me with you. We have never been separated from our very births. I will not live if you do not." Lord Ram smiled and told Lakshman that you take leave of your mother and father and prepare immediately to enter into the Dandakaranya forest. The three of them, Sita, Ram, and Lakshman, then walked on their bare feet to the palace of Dasarath to receive his permission to enter into the forest. When they arrived, Dasarath was still laying there on his couch with the evil-minded Kaikeyi standing over him. Sumantra, the charioteer and minister of Dasarath, when he saw Ram, Sita, and Lakshman begging permission to enter into the forest, he couldn't control his anger. He spoke very, very terrible, harsh words against Kaikeyi. But Kaikeyi was like a piece of stone. She did not care for anything he said. Dasarath then said to Sumantra that get my entire treasury and put it on chariots and bring it with Ram to the forest. In fact, bring all the armies and send with Ram to the forest. Bring all the opulences of Ayodhya and send it with Ram to the forest. And I too will go with Ram to the forest. Kaikeyi flew out with anger. She screamed at Dasarath, "You cannot do this! Because you have vowed to coronate Bharat as king, and everything within the kingdom must be there. Otherwise, you are breaking your vow." Lord Ram, he turned to his father and said, "I have just taken a vow of asceticism for the next 14 years. If I'm an ascetic, what do I need the wealth of Ayodhya for? I don't want any of this wealth. There's nothing for me to do with it in the forest. You keep it all here." Let it be ruled over by Bharat. I wish to go to the forest with nothing except the bark of trees. At that time, Kaikeyi personally handed over to Ram, Lakshman, and Sita clothes made out of tree bark and said, put these on and go. Ram and Lakshman immediately took off all their princely clothes, put it on the floor, and fastened the tree bark around their bodies. Two pieces of tree bark. One is a copan and one is an upper cover. Then Kaikeyi handed the other tree bark to Sita. Sita looked at it. She didn't know what to do. She started to try to put it on, but she didn't know which part went where. Innocent Sita, with tears in her eyes, she was completely culture shocked. Trying to put on tree bark with great difficulty. She was in a state of confusion. Upon seeing this, Lord Ramchandra personally put the tree bark over Sita, fastened it with his own loving hand. This was too much for the citizens of Ayodhya. Kausalya was there, Dasarath was there, Sumantra was there. Seeing Sita in that bewildered state with tree bark around her precious princessly body, everyone began to weep and cry. They were falling unconscious to the floor, thinking of Sita wearing these tree barks for the next 14 years. In fact, Vasishtha Muni could no longer control his anger. Scornfully chastised Kaikeyi. Do you not see what you are doing, you wicked, cruel, serpentine woman? You are the destruction of your husband. You are the destruction of the entire Rabu dynasty. You are bringing utter shame to all. Does your heart not soften by seeing the soft, tender, beloved Sita in the bark of a tree? Kaikeyi did not say a word. She remained firm in her resolve. The only thing she said was, leave immediately. Dasarath was praying, please stay one more day, just one more day. Kaikeyi said, no, they must leave immediately. Ram was thinking that the longer I stay, the more pain Dasarath's going to have to feel, having to somehow or other struggle with the reality that I might leave. So the sooner I leave, the easier it will be for the citizens of Ayodhya. Kausalya then approached Sita and embraced her and gave her her blessings. Said, my dear Sita, please serve your beloved husband, Sri Ram, and be always there as his faithful and chasteful wife to give him pleasure. Go with my blessings, my dear daughter. Go with my blessings. And then Lord Ram turned to Kausalya and said, please do not show your pain to my beloved father Dasarath. He's suffering enough pain himself. Lord Ramchandra then turned to all the citizens of Ayodhya with folded hands and begged them to please forgive him of any offenses he may have made. and asked their permission for him to leave. As they boarded the chariot, Sumitra, the mother of Lakshman, embraced her son with her eyes flooded with tears and instructed him that, please serve your elder brother, my son, with great care and attention. They boarded the chariot here in this holy city of Ayodhya. The citizens were crying out, "Stop! Stop! Do not go!" Ram told Sumantra, "Go." Sumantra began the chariot. It was Dasarath's own chariot. The citizens were saying, "Stop! Stop! Stop!" And Ram was saying, "Go!" The citizens were saying, "Slow down! We want to follow him! Slow down!" Ram was saying, "Go faster! Go faster!" Dasarath, Maharaj, Kausalya, Sumitra, they were all following the chariot. Ram could not tolerate seeing his father struggling, falling, getting up and falling, getting up and falling, trying to follow the chariot. He said to Sumantra, "Go faster, go!" And Dasarath was saying, "Slow down, slow down!" Sumantra was very much torn between all of these contradictory instructions he was receiving. Finally, when Dasarath could no longer keep up with it, he fell to the ground, collapsed. His queens tried to pick him up, Kausalya on one side, Sumitra, as well as Kaikeyi. When Kaikeyi touched him, Dasarath, in terrible anger and pain, he said, "Don't touch me. I disown you. I sever our relations as husband and wife. I have nothing to do with you, and I have nothing to do with anyone that has anything to do with you. Get out of my life. You have come to bring my death." Before they carried Dasarath back to his palace, he insisted on staying there, and he watched the chariot as it went into the horizon. And then he fell in the dust of the tracks of the wheels of the chariot, knowing that that would be his last remembrance of Sri Ram. Meanwhile, the citizens of Ayodhya, whoever was fit to do so, they followed the chariot wherever it went. They were calling out, "Let the forest become Ayodhya, and let Ayodhya become a forest. Let only Kaikeyi, that evil-minded, wicked woman, and her son Bharat rule. Let them only rule over the empty building. We will all go to the forest to join Ram." In this way, Lord Sri Ramchandra left Ayodhya to begin his 14-year term of exile. They came to the Tamasa River, where thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people were still with the Lord. It became nightfall, so the Lord decided to take rest there. All the citizens of Ayodhya, having walked all day long, were very, very tired. They all slept on the bank of the river. And late, late at night, sometime before the sun even rose, Ram woke up with Lakshman and Sita and told Sumantra, "Very quietly, take our chariot from here. And do it in such a way that the citizens of Ayodhya cannot find us." Sumantra, very expertly, he went to the shallow parts of the river and drove the chariot that way so that no tracks would be there. Instead of going by main roads, he would go by small little forest paths and then through other little rivers. When the birds began to sing in the morning, the inhabitants of Ayodhya woke up frantically. Where is Ram? They searched here and there, but they could not find even a clue of where the chariot had been. With broken hearts and great dismay, they all returned to Ayodhya. Ayodhya became like a ghost town. There was no life. None of the shopkeepers wanted to open their shops. There was no singing, no dancing. Nobody even had the strength to clean their house or take baths. The whole of Ayodhya was immersed in an ocean of lamentation and grief.